Many years ago, Victor Hugo wrote a novel entitled Les Misérables. It's been made into a musical, and it's a beautiful rendition of grace and mercy and redemption. The main character is Jean Valjean. He stole some bread early in his life to feed his sister's hungry child. As a result, he was taken to prison, served a 19-year prison sentence, and was given a prisoner's number, 24601. The story unfolds. He's released from prison, and he begins to create a new life for himself. But being a parolee, he finds it extremely difficult. So he breaks parole and starts to reinvent himself. He encounters a priest who he tries to steal from, but the priest instead disciples him. The priest teaches him on grace and on mercy and on redemption. And there's a noticeable change in Jean Valjean's heart, in his life, in his anger. Yet he still feels like he's on the run, and even though he's reinvented himself and he becomes the mayor of a town and he becomes a factory owner, he still feels tied to his past. He still feels unforgiven. He has an employee who is unfairly terminated and turns to prostitution. She bears a child, and as a result of this young lady's death, he takes the child and raises her as his own. Despite all the good that he's done in his life, he can't shake the negative message. He's pursued by a relentless captain of the police who vows to bring him back to prison for breaking parole. Every time they have an encounter, he reminds him that he's nothing more than his prisoner number 24601. He demeans him and continually tells him that he's a worthless convict. These things play over in his mind all through his life. And it's not until he's about to face death when he finally realizes the power of forgiveness that he has known about all his life but that he's never lived under. He realizes that it's not for the good works that he has performed, but his life now ends well because of God's grace, because of God's mercy, and because of the redemption that the priest introduced him 2 years earlier. It's a fabulous story of God and God's character. At one time, Jean Valjean did not know God. But once he received his mercies, he found within him the courage to make life new. And the real tragedy of the story is that he did not live his life in this glorious space. He didn't live his life with the peace of mind that knowing God the Father is a God who forgives. I've been asking you to answer the question the last several weeks, who am I? And today I want you to know that the answer to that question is that in Christ you are not who you were. You may not be all that you want to be, but you're not who you were. You are who God says you are. And if you've made the conscious choice to believe in and to belong to Jesus Christ, and if you have received His mercy, then His mercy says that you are forgiven. God wants you to know today that that forgiveness is total. It is complete. You can experience the total and complete forgiveness of God. We have been in 1 Peter chapter 2 for the last 4 weeks. We're going to be there today again, except today we're moving on to verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 10, once you were not a people, but now, you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Mercy is when God withholds from us what we rightfully deserve. And what we rightfully deserve is His wrath and His justice. But instead, He's offered us His mercy and He's given us forgiveness. And God's forgiveness is total. He knows everything about you. And because He knows everything about you, He forgives the worst parts of you, but not partially, totally. He totally forgives. He knows in advance every wrong thing that you've ever done, every wrong thing that you are going to do, every sin past, every sin present, every sin future. He says, I have made a way for your forgiveness to be complete. And when God forgives, He also forgets. He wipes it out. He destroys it. Our only responsibility is to acknowledge our sin and confess and repent. We know 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, then He is faithful and He is just and He is the one who forgives us of our sin and He is the one who cleanses us from all unrighteousness that is associated with that sin. We know 1 John 1:9, but what we don't attach to that is the forgetting part that God also offers. Psalm 32 tells us that God does not keep track. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, in whose spirit is no deceit. Again, Psalm 32 assures us that our guilt is removed. When I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity, I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. It's hand in glove with 1 John 1:9. Paul to the church at Rome writes in Romans chapter 4 that he covers our sin. There is no tally sheet. There are no tick marks by your name. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against him. You need to find Romans chapter 4, verse 8, and you need to circle that phrase, never count against him. When you make the conscious choice to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ, at that moment you are, as the hymn writer says, made pure as wool. And as your life goes forward, you're going to continue to sin. As long as you're human, you're going to sin. It's a part of the human condition. But if you will confess those sins, He is faithful and just to forgive those sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And Romans chapter 4, verse 8 says He will never count those against you. Why? Because He forgets. I love Psalm 103, verse 12. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. There's a wonderful continuation in the distancing of our sin from God when we confess. The psalmist could have easily said, He removes our sin as far from the north is to the south. The problem with that is that when you get the farthest point north and you take one step further, you're now going south. So there's a specific distance there. But east from west goes on in perpetuity. There's a continual distancing between the sins you confess and the forgiveness that God gives. That's why Isaiah in chapter 1 tells us about the fact that His forgiveness is purifying for us. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. There's a purifying component to the forgiveness of God. And God wants you to experience total forgiveness. Again, Isaiah chapter 38, verse 17b, in your love, you kept me from the pit of destruction. Listen to this. You have put all of my sins behind your back. He puts them behind his back. They're not in his view. They're not in his presence. He wants you to experience total forgiveness. And with that total forgiveness comes his ability to forget. But it's beautiful to remember that while you don't have the capacity to forget, he does. And since you say, well, I can't forget, so how can I trust him? Well, you can trust him because forgiveness is part of Father God's character. It's a major component of who he is. Again, let me give you these words of hope from the prophet Isaiah. Even I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sin no more. It's a part of his character. It's part of his nature. I could take you all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve have messed up in the garden. And God is walking around calling them, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? God wanted to be in relationship with Adam and Eve. And he couldn't because their sin caused them to hide from him. And when they finally emerged from their hiding place, God lovingly and graciously sacrificed an animal in the Garden of Eden. And he made coverings so that their nakedness would be hidden. It is a representation of the forgiveness that God offers and the covering that he brings to our sin. It is a part of his character. It's a part of his nature, and it goes all the way back to the garden. And the prophet Isaiah says, even I, they were involved in the sacrificial system that started back in Genesis chapter 3. And Isaiah said, it's God who blots out your transgressions. It is not the sacrifice of the priests. The word blot out is like a mist that disappears. When I was a little kid, I used to walk to school. I used to love on foggy mornings to be able to walk to school. I thought it was so cool to be able to walk through clouds sometimes. You've seen them just kind of hanging out on the surface. But before the bell rang, almost inevitably, those clouds had evaporated. Those little puffs of mist that were on the ground disappeared. I'm the one who makes your sin disappear. I'm the one who makes your transgressions go away. It's not the priest. It's not your sacrifice. Look at what he says. I blot out your transgressions for my own sake. What does that mean? He said, I forgive your sin. I make your transgressions go away. I forgive and I forget for my own sake. I inhabit your worship. I inhabit your praise. And your worship and your praise is tainted when you come to me with a heart and a life that is full of sin. So I, in my generosity and my graciousness and my forgiving spirit, have taken those sins away and I have put them behind my back so that I don't have to see them. I push them as far away as the east is from the west so that you can approach me with a clean hand and with a pure heart so that you can worship me. For my own sake, he takes those things away. He forgives because he wants to encounter you in spirit and in truth. And he remembers them no more. Dr. Gary Smith, in his commentary writing of Isaiah chapter 43, he said, God will do what is not required, expected, or thought conceivable. He will completely blot out the problem of sin that separates himself from his people. Why? Because he inhabits the praise of his people. He inhabits you. He covets your worship. He yearns for you to be in His presence. He says, I am the one who blots out your transgressions, and I do it for my own sake. So that when you enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart and you come to His courts with joyous praise, He can receive that welcoming, wonderfully, and wholehearted. There's some idea that the God of the Old Testament is unforgiving and wrathful and angry, and that somehow His character changed and manifested itself in the form of Christ. I would suggest to you that that's not the picture at all. But there is a Father who is longing to be in a relationship with His people. And so He asked His Son to die so that the forgiveness of sin might be possible. And when you and I believe in Jesus Christ and make a conscious choice to belong to Him, He sends us the conduit of His Holy Spirit so that we can stay connected with the triune aspects of God for His own sake. He wants to forgive you. He wants to get back to the intended purpose of His creation. He wants a loving family and He wants you in it. That's who God is. And so in Christ we are forgiven, and through the Holy Spirit we are connected. God wants you to experience total forgiveness. Forgiveness is part of His nature. You need to be reminded this morning that Jesus paid for those sins you keep bringing up over and over and over again. He paid for them once and for all. Because when you look at the cross where Jesus died, you should see your identity. The cross should remind you that you are loved. The cross should remind you that you are valuable. The cross should remind you that you are accepted. And the cross should speak volumes to you about your forgiveness. Jesus paid for the sins that you keep bringing up that you think you can't be forgiven for. It is counterintuitive to live in that realm, in that world, in that arena. When Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he reminded them of this beautiful truth. He says, praise be to God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons and daughters through Christ Jesus, in accordance with His pleasure and His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, that goes back to the Isaiah passage, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Christ, we have redemption through His blood. What does that word redemption mean? It means you've been bought back. You've been bought back from what? You've been bought back from your human sin. You've been brought back from your human brokenness. He's come and He said, I'm going to cash myself in to buy you back. Because He wants you to know the joy and the glory of forgiveness. In Christ, we have redemption through His blood. What is that redemption? It is the forgiveness of sin. How does He finish that? In accordance with the riches of God's grace. In accordance with the riches of God's grace. It is His gift to you. It is His offering to you. I am not forgiven based on my performance. I am not forgiven based on what I have done. I am forgiven based on the great grace of God. I told you earlier that mercy was where God does not give you what you rightfully deserve. It is death, destruction, punishment. He doesn't give that to you. Grace, on the other hand, is where God gives you what you don't deserve. And Ephesians says it is in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He gave you Christ His Son to cash Himself in to buy you back so that He can forgive you and restore the creative process so that you can be in His family, so that you can be one of His children. As the band comes, I need you to answer this question. Why do I struggle with believing I am forgiven? Many times we ask the wrong question. The wrong question is, why do I keep committing the same sin? And that's a question that just serves to beat ourselves up. A better question to ask is, why do I have so much trouble believing that I am truly forgiven by God? As we sing this next song, I want you to wrestle with that. I want you to ask God to reveal to you why you have such a hard time believing that your true identity is forgiven. You are acceptable. You are valuable. You are loved. I need you to choose today to believe that you are forgiven. God's word is true. If you confess, He forgives. And what He forgives, He forgets. And He cleanses you from any unrighteousness associated with that. Jean Valjean didn't understand this until the very end of his life. But you can choose to live in the knowledge of God's forgiveness right now, today. You do it by faith. Go back and reread the verses that I've given you. Go back and relook at the promises that He's made about how He wants to forgive you. And if you're struggling and you still can't get your arms wrapped around it, I need you to send an email to prayer@southbeltchurch.org. Somebody will get that email and they'll make contact with you in the next 2 or 3 days. You can always call the office first thing in the morning. We open at 9 a.m. Decide right now to believe that the God who created the universe and made you and loves you offers you the forgiveness that you can find no place else. And choose today to live in that forgiveness as a reality, not a wish. Would you pray with me? Father, help us during this time of decision and dedication to believe You, and to, by faith, live as though we know we're forgiven. May we make that proclamation. Who am I? I am forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen.